The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, Beth Moore reveals the source of power for our lives.
And where is it that we keep surrendering that ground, that kingdom ground He gave us that was ours? And the enemy just keeps inching us back and further back and further back, and we're losing what was kingdom property as joint heirs in Christ.
The overcoming power of kingdom presence, next on Life Today.
We thank all of you who are here in the audience, and we do encourage you to come and join us. We normally tape on Tuesday evenings with a live audience and with our guests, and we're going to present Beth Moore joining with Betty and with me as we talked about this subject, God's kingdom in you. I want to ask you to really seriously consider not only helping us meet the needs of children who are starving for just a chance, and we can give them a chance at life. But I want you to also give us an opportunity to share with you some insights concerning God's kingdom in us. The subheading, very important, living in His presence, God's presence, Jesus' presence in the present, not waiting for it, the kingdom to ultimately come, but the power of His presence and kingdom now. And this entire series is available on CD and DVD along with a study guide. I really encourage you to get it. I don't think you'll be able to stop listening. I think you'll want to get friends to join you in a Bible study at home or perhaps even for the church. It'll keep the attention of the entire audience, but also it'll keep your focus if you want to use it as a personal Bible study. It has literally the effect individually, small groups, or to an entire study group or even church congregation. So I encourage you to get this insight. It's really the most important understanding that God has ever led me into, and I think, Betty, you would agree. What we're seeing right now, it helps us understand the fullness of God's will in our lives right now, not just in heaven.
No, now.
Right now.
Right now.
Well, we're going to join with Beth, God's kingdom in you. Wednesdays with Beth, here's Beth. Here's something that I really believe is critically important. I mentioned this to you before we came out here for this session. You're a teacher, and you're really a gifted teacher. But the worst thing that could ever happen to you would be to have a whole nation full of Bethites. Wouldn't that be awful?
It would be the most nauseating thought.
Would that not just break your heart?
Yes.
As a matter of fact, one of the obstacles that I had to
deal... The world does not have room for that much hair. Let's start there. Yes.
Do you know one of the battles that I had to go through when I was talking to the Lord about us doing this? I said, now you're going to go in a room full of mostly women and they want to hear Beth. And they got you. What a disappointment. Thank God you brought Betty. You might make it. Now here's the deal. No, I'm just telling you that's what was thrown at me. But you see, I don't think...
That was the enemy.
It was the enemy. Mm-hmm. I don't think you raise up that kind of people. But you'd be surprised how many places you'd go and say, well, I wanted to hear her or him, and I sure didn't want to hear you. You see, if we all come together for the purpose of hearing who?
Jesus.
Him.
Yes.
I want you to open your Bible to 1 John chapter 2. Let's start at verse 26. These things have I written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. And this was when they were actually being assaulted by people who were not telling the truth. All right, but they were doing a pretty effective communicating of that which was less than the real truth. So he's trying to tell them, this is in the New Testament age, when they got pretty reliable sources. You know, they got eyewitnesses of His Majesty. They got John that's leaning on His shoulder. They got the apostles around Him. So they were pretty close. They've got kingdom power. Now he said, I want to talk to you about any deception, anybody even trying to deceive you or misleading you. As for you, this is believers, the anointing which you receive from Him, Jesus, God, abides in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie and just, as it has taught you, you abide in Him. Now, Beth, that might That's stretch powerful. Some of you. You don't need anybody to teach you. You've got an anointing. Now, listen. That anointing is so great that if you will search these scriptures, you will find the truth.
Yes.
You can search the scriptures daily whether what Beth says is true.
That's right.
Whether what James
That's right.
says is true, whether what pastor says is true. But you don't do it to get angry with them or to get bent out of shape. You just say, well, Lord, you know, they might have missed it here, or maybe I've got some more to learn, and I know you'll teach me, but I'm going to be praying for them in case they missed it. And that's how we treat each other. We don't start gathering around teachers. You remember how Paul scolded them in 1 Corinthians about how they said, I'm of Christ, and I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Paul. And what did he say to them? He said, I can't even talk to you mm-hmm. like spiritual men.
Yes.
I've got to talk to you like fleshly people.
Yes.
I can't even talk to you like the new creation people you are. And why couldn't he? Because they had chosen a teacher other than Jesus together, and even though they were anointed teachers.
That's right.
See, I don't care how anointed the teacher is. You can discern the truth. It's very important that you know this. You can go home, and Beth, this is simply the truth mm-hmm. of me, because mm-hmm. I've heard great teachers, and I've been in some great spirit-filled conferences and great preaching conferences. I have never had visitations from the Lord like I've had in my own family.
All alone. I agree with
and
that.
And alone by yes. myself, sitting
yes.
on a porch in a rocker.
Yes. yes.
Or sitting out on a mm-hmm. side of a hill. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen to me, ladies. You can get pumped gloriously in the presence of God by His presence.
Yes.
And He'll teach you. Men, listen
That's
to me.
That's so good.
He will help you. Quit gathering around teachers. Do you agree, Beth?
I agree.
This really divides us unnecessarily.
Oh, yes, it does. You know, when you were having us turn to 1 John 2, my thoughts also went. I recently just began to look up every single occasion of the word one, because it occurred to me that the sum total of every divine equation is always one, that you might be one. I love these verses out of Ephesians 4 that say, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is through all and in all. And then it says, to each one of us, grace has been given to us, apportioned by Christ. And that in all these parts of the body, that's how we come together, is that I need you, Betty. I need what you bring. We need one another in the body of Christ to operate in the fullness of the Spirit in that particular group. And if we don't know Him on our own, if we don't have our own personal relationship with Him, hear the word for ourselves with our own ears, we will never know what's real and what's counterfeit out there.
Absolutely. I want you to go ahead and turn over to Ephesians. Go ahead, because we'll actually stay there in some of the other areas that we're going to deal with in this series on really God's kingdom in you. But going over to Ephesians, because Beth, that where you were just reading, it's just jumping all over me. And as a matter of fact, we're going to want to give some attention to the chapter before it. But I want to call your attention to what she's just reading there about this walking in the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. Do y'all see that? Mm-hmm. Look what it says. Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. What does it say in the NIV?
Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace.
What does it say in the New Living?
It says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace.
All right, it says diligent. It means be serious mm-hmm. about it. And then he talks about one body. Then down below, if you'll see, he talks about all of the ones that were set in the church in verse 11 as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And by the way, you don't choose these people. They have been set, placed in the church by God. You don't just pick them. But Beth, what I think we have to do is recognize the ones He set, the
yes.
ones He put there. And there'll be people who are, let's say, primary teachers or apostles or prophets that really speak to the whole church
yes.
in the whole earth. And then there'll be some that seem to be regionally, and then you're going to have a pastor and teachers in your church. But there'll be somebody that's going to be saying something prophetically or even in a pastoral or apostolic mm-hmm, role, mm-hmm. speaking as kind of an overseer. That's not really a misrepresentation of truth. They'll be speaking, and what the whole church needs to do, which means that a denomination over here may need to recognize God is actually speaking through somebody God set in the church, that we need to be hearing over here in our group. Yes. Does that make sense? Yes. But now watch what happens, because this really is important for us to see this body being fit together. This is so, so wonderful when you see what's happening. The reason they are in the church, they are here to equip the saints. And by the way, you are a saint. You're priests, kings, sons, daughters, saints.
That's it.
That's who you are. Mm-hmm. Saints. That's kingdom reality. For the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, this is the family, until we attain the unity of the faith. By the way, I think you can start with the unity of the Spirit. If you'll start there, we can actually come into a unity of faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and hearing it clearly. I think if we get built, starting with the unity of the Spirit, diligently trying to keep it, I think we can actually build in the unity of the faith for the whole family, where we're hearing the Word more clearly and more purely. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
So that we're really beginning to see a real healthy body. And you'll see the knowledge of the Son of God, and you'll become a mature man to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, you'll no longer be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by winds of doctrines. Now, these waves are normally influences or words or even the spirits that come at you, deceiving spirits, but also people who are speaking something that has a negative influence on you and a negative impact. They're waves and influences, winds and spirits of doctrines. Beth, I found that you can take a doctrine, make an idol out of it, and that thing has a spirit on it.
Oh.
And you can see people walking around in churches with the spirit of a doctrine on them, and they look like, you know, like Jesus said, you look good on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones.
Oh,
I mean, you see what I'm talking about there?
Yes.
There's a spirit of doctrines on people that is not the spirit of God.
No. And there's a whole council of God. When we make one thing our entire belief system, whether it's warfare, whether it's spiritual gifts, whatever it may be, but when we lose that kind of balance, we lose the love of Christ that walks in the truth of His Word. Something's going to give way. Something's going to give way because we've lost our balance.
And then look what happens. You will not again be influenced like the enemy's done by the trickery of men and by craftiness and deceitful scheming. There's a lot of manipulation in ministry that does not edify and build us up. But speaking, there it is, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into Him, Christ. There's that head, Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted together got a holy chiropractor putting us in place,
mm-hmm.
Beth.
That's
and
right.
Held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building of itself up in love. And all of this has to work by love. I'm telling you, when you can see people fitting together properly, you see a beautiful picture of Jesus.
Yes, you do.
Next point.
Well, what this leads into so beautifully, we've been talking about that a united house stands, a divided house falls. We've been talking about the fact that the enemy has his own counterfeit kingdom agenda that he continually is at work through. We see it so perfectly, even when he goes to Christ in the wilderness of temptation, there's such a perfect example of him going to him. In Luke 4:5, it says, the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world and basically went, you know what? These are all yours. He was going, you know, I've come for one kingdom, the kingdom of God. But I thought to myself, how often we'll miss the full blessing because we'll take a shortcut. You see, if Christ had just proclaimed himself as king, which he could have done, and not gone to the cross, he'd be king, but we would be lost. there would have been nothing gained for us. If he had taken over if his kingdom had come in its fullness at that moment when the enemy was trying to dangle it in front of him, going, you know what, there's an easier way. Because he knew that the cross was coming upon him. He knew that dread. And if he had gone for the shortcut, we would be lost. But it brings us, one of the things I wanted us to talk about in this particular segment is the fact that we are co-heirs with Christ. That because we have been called into the kingdom and because we have the Holy Spirit and the kingdom is in us, we've been born into the kingdom and the kingdom has been born into us. We are told in Scripture that we have a kingdom inheritance. But one of the things we've got to realize, and this is where the warfare plays into it, is that like the children of Israel, do you remember some weeks ago when we talked about the fact that what was true of the children of Israel in spiritual, or in physical terms rather, in tangible terms, is often so true of us in a spiritual
Absolutely.
Parallel.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're given kingdom ground. All of us have ministry that we're called to. It doesn't matter if you're in a secular workplace, if you're a public school teacher. If you are in Christ, you have a calling on your life. And you have been given apportioned property. It doesn't necessarily have boundary lines like a city would have or like a kingdom of the ancient world would have, but your boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. That is the promise of Scripture. And He's given you this kingdom ground that is yours for your lifetime and for the completion of your ministry on this earth. But where I see such a parallel is that remember that we receive the kingdom. But there is ground we have to take. Mm-hmm. Just like the children of Israel, when they were out in the wilderness, here they've been given the land of promise. This is your land. It's yours. I'm giving it to you. And yet he went, go in there and take it. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting. My oldest daughter and her husband are in ministry together, and he is a young minister with this wife that is called right to his side, and they're the most wonderful young couple, and I'm watching God do such a mighty work through them, and He's just showing them the next step in their ministry together. And she and I were talking about some obstacles that had come up and some things that made it look like for a while that promise that they felt like God had made over their ministry life together would either be delayed or maybe it wasn't going to happen at all. And so we were talking it through, and by this time, she was what you reflected on a moment ago, Betty. She had already come to peace herself in her own heart. But I said, honey, I tell you, I notice something all the time. God will give me vision for that ground. And then as I begin to walk toward it, boy, the enemy starts standing on it and daring me to take it. But I believe what God has in mind for us is that if we don't have to fight to take it, we won't be able to have the strength to keep it.
Mm.
I said, baby, if He's going to raise the two of you into ministry together, you will have a lot of responsibility. You'll be dealing with a lot of different kinds of people, a lot of different kinds of problems. And I said, you not only have to have the strength to get there, but you've got to have the strength to hold your ground. And where is it that we keep surrendering that ground, that kingdom ground He gave us that was ours? And the enemy just keeps inching us back and further back and further back, and we're losing what was kingdom property as joint heirs in Christ. We have so much that we're going to receive when we see Him face to face and when His kingdom comes in its fullness, but we have ground here on this planet in His name. We have ground we are meant to take in the power of the kingdom.
Whew, Beth, if you'll get it, what it means to take the ground. By the way, we are the ground, the fertile field of God. But when we take the ground, it's the weight of His presence. It's not like some power takeover. It's the manifestation of the power of God. I really encourage you get God's kingdom in you, living in His presence in the present. You get on CDs, CD, DVD, and the study guide, along with Jim Hilton's book, The Supernatural Skyline. What we're asking you to do is just really take part in God's heart by putting His hands around the suffering. We're going to show you kingdom reality. The tendency naturally is to turn away when you see a need. The supernatural response is, God, what can you do to reveal yourself in that situation? Now, you're going to see Beth in the midst of pain. The pain that you and I together, all of us, we really have the answer to. So if you may have an impulse to turn away, don't. Look right into the situation and let God's power, through you, touch that situation. Watch closely.
Thank you. You know, I know many of you see those pictures. You read the news stories, you see the headlines of how many children so desperately need help, of how many children are starving here on the continent of Africa, and you say, it's not right and it's not fair that a child should sit here in a clinic like this and die. Die as a result of a simple lack of food.
No, this, it's an inconceivable sight. It just, there's nothing that prepares you to see a child in this kind of condition. It is almost unbearable. We have got to get to these children in the villages, in their homes, in the schools, way before this happens.
Ooh, let me just tell you that those little eyes blinking right there, that little boy with his, so we may say, the skin's just falling off his little body. That little baby didn't live. And I can see those eyes. See, I don't turn away from pain. I guess if I didn't know a God big enough to meet any need and a God that loves enough that if he can just find available hands, he will touch the suffering. I guess I probably couldn't bear to look at it. And one of my prayers for our viewers, Betty, is that they would not do the easy, the natural thing to turn away, but that you would turn to God and then in God's behalf turn to those little children. Because I want to talk to you about thousands of little kids, a 500,000 of them that our missionaries have in place. You say, what do you mean in place? They found them. They located them. In all of their pain, in their need, and they said, if you will enable us, we'll take care of them. We're gonna love them. We're not just gonna talk to them about God's love. We're gonna demonstrate it to them. We're gonna show them the love of God. But Betty, every one of those missionaries would be there with empty hands and empty bowls. Our missionaries try to give these starving children a little bowl of porridge, a nutritionally designed mix for that particular area's need. And this bowl, it was your idea. Years ago, you saw them with little tin cans and sometimes plastic bags that the hot soup mix would burn right through the bag and the kids would fall down on the ground trying to get it out of the dirt. And you said, give them a bowl. Give them a heat-resistant bowl. And the missionaries said, we can't afford to give them bowls. They're starving. And you said, we'll give them a bowl. And we won't give them an empty bowl. We'll give them something in the bowl. You have been the most incredible, indescribable inspiration to us for years. I mean, you are a joy to the Lord and a source of life to those little children. So we come to you twice a year and we ask you to give a gift that'll keep giving life for the next months. Now, I'm not exaggerating when I tell you this. This is not total child care. This is life-saving nourishment. It is a nutritious mix. And oftentimes, Betty, in the malnutrition clinics, it's the basics of intravenous feeding. It's the sugar and oil. It's the things that we'll just try to save them at the last. You provide all of that. $30, $50, I'm not exaggerating, or $100. We can take care of 3, 5, or 10 children for the next several months. Would you dial that number right now, please? I mean, it's just pretty easy to sit there and look at me. But see, I really prayed a lot that God would touch your heart and you would touch someone with his love. I'm praying, I'm believing that about you. Some of you have done this and said, it's been such a joy. Well, help us now so we can share with them the opportunity to live. Show them the love of God. Some of you, it's your first time. Some of you have never done this before. You want your prayers answered? Seek to be an answer to someone else's prayers. You get involved with what God's concerned about. Watch what happens to your concerns. Watch God's focus. You be an answer to their prayer. Would you dial that number, take your bank card, make the best gift you can. If you can help us save 10 lives or 100, please do it. 3 or 5, whatever you can do. We've got some special gifts for you to help you understand the beauty of God's kingdom in you right now. Thank you for making that call. You get a busy, you call until you get through. Or you can go online and make that gift, lifetoday.org. But I'm asking you to make that gift now. Thank you for doing it.
At this very moment, a child is drawing her last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like her throughout Africa face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can save a life. Life's Mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 500,000 children throughout remote areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With previous food reserves gone and Southern Africa facing its worst conditions and food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for the feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the God's Kingdom in You audio series and companion scripture guide. James and Betty Robison, along with Beth Moore, inspire you to live every day in the power and presence of God. With your gift of $125 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request both the video DVD and audio series with scripture guide. As a bonus, we'll also send you Jim Hilton's new book, The Supernatural Skyline. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help save the lives of 100 children, and be sure to request the beautiful new Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online.
Betty, I remember you saying so clearly and so many times to me and so many times on the program that you were just living and praying to see the day that the line to help was longer than the line to feed. That has not happened as of today because we have run out of food and left some children without. My heart is just broken. So I've experienced what you have experienced a number of times and never want to see happen again. So we're still praying toward that end. We're still working toward that end. We gotta be able to partner and give so that we can see that line become a reality where there are more helping than there are to feed. That could become a reality, but it is not yet a reality. Please go to the phone right now if you would. Just feel the prompting of God to act on what you've seen and act on what you've heard. I'm going to join you doing exactly that.
Let me encourage you. If there's any way you could help us take care of 100 children, ask for the Father's heart, His heart expressed reaching out. So many people live like orphans. He wants us to live like children of a wonderful Father and express that love. Put the arms of God's love around 100 children if you possibly can. But whatever you can do, thank you for helping us rescue and literally see lives saved because of the love of God. Do ask for God's Kingdom in You on CD or DVD, and we thank you so much for your gift. Thank all of you for joining with us. We're so glad to have you.
Tomorrow, Tony Perkins, the president of the Family Research Council, and Pastor Jacob Aranza encourage believers to prepare for the coming storms. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.